The Message. See how they put that right there perfectly for... Never mind. Yeah, sometimes you kind of get out of order. So it's just been one of those days. We've got a lot going on. We have family that's in the track of the storm as well. So we're just going to all continue to pray that God would guard them and protect them. Today we're starting a new message series entitled Community Builders. It's one of my favorite topics. And those who know me know that that is one of my favorite topics. So I'm really excited about this series. We're going to be coming from the book of Nehemiah. Now, I know some of you write notes in your Bible, and you're going to come to me later and say, you preached a message last September on the 25th from this passage. Yes, I'm already aware of that. But it was one message. We're going to actually expand on Nehemiah, and we're going to do an entire series. So I'm really excited about taking and breaking this down a little bit further. Today we're going to actually start in the first chapter in the book of Nehemiah. So if you want to go ahead and turn there. And I want to say this, happy anniversary. Yeah, this is the third anniversary of Columbia Campus, right? What? So we need to say happy anniversary. God's been doing some great things in that time. I mean, look at all that God has already done. Here we are, two services. God's moving in a mighty way. And I'm just going to speak prophetically that we'll have a building next week. Right? I mean, you got to go for it, right, Miss Diane? I mean, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it. We're just going to speak it. We're going to pray that we get a building quickly. Andrea, don't give me that look. What is that look? Sure, God's big. Is my arm too short? Did the Lord not say, is my arm too short? Now, we are going to pray that God will give us a facility in His time, because that's extremely important as well. But I want you to know that there are people behind the scenes that work so hard every single week to set up, tear down. They work in our preschool ministry. They work in AV. Worship team comes in early to prep. We have Sammy and some others at Colin. Thank you this morning. Pulled the trailer. Every single week, this is going on. So let's not take that for granted, and let's make sure and thank those that are doing that work. And if you can join a team, this is a good time to do it. Yeah, we'd love to have you join that team. So Serve Sunday was five churches, six congregations, because we're multi-site, so six congregations, over 1,000 total people that were mobilized to 32 schools and two counties, numerous projects that were completed, but one great God who was glorified. Right? One great God that was glorified. One gentle way, we had food distribution yesterday, over 20,000 pounds of food that were given out to over 275 families, which equates to over 890 people served by, I believe, over 100 volunteers. I'm guessing, but this was probably the biggest volunteer base that we've had. State Farm? No, Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau came out and brought a whole army with them, and we were able to serve people food. Once again, that's a lot of numbers, but one great God was glorified. Because ultimately, it's His kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we asked the question, what is a community builder? What is a community builder? And I would actually say we are, as a congregation, we are community builders. We are. You just, if you go to our Facebook page and look through the pictures, and what you'll see is food distributions, you'll see working in the schools, you'll see community service, you'll see all the setup, the tear down, you will see small group get-togethers, leadership gatherings, baptisms in the river, you will see community building that's going on. So this isn't something that's a value that we aspire to do. It's a value that we really hold true. But we can improve, right? There's always room for improvement. There's always room for growth. And I have this statement that I want to keep reiterating, and that is, don't just join the applause, join the cause. Because any given Sunday, all of us come together and we applaud the things that are going on. But don't just be a part of the applause, be a part of the cause too. If you're still kind of trying to figure out your place, there are plenty of places to plug in. And we need all hands on deck to get the work done that God wants us to do. But we have to do it together. And this whole thing of Nehemiah, we're going to read the first chapter together. I love this book. I don't know if you, let's see, Educator Sunday last year, like I said, I read from this chapter, and one of the things that I kept reiterating is that we won't come down from that wall. Well, we're going to get to that later on in the book. We're going to start today just in chapter 1 and see how this whole thing begins. So really and truthfully, you could entitle this the beginning of building. So let's start with the very first three verses. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. Now, something to understand about the history right now is this is about 120 years after the exile. This is well over 100 years after the exile. Nehemiah, more than likely, most scholars would say, was born in exile. He wasn't born in Jerusalem and then was taken away when Jerusalem was taken over. He would have been someone who was actually born in exile, who hadn't necessarily seen the city before. So he says, verse 3, and they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. So one of the things that we need to learn here when it comes to this whole thing of community building is the first thing we have to learn is that we have to open our ears. We have to listen. But before we do that, let me define community for you. The question that we have is, what is community? Well, community is when we have a common unity. The C-O-M-M, if you look at that prefix talks about having something in common, a togetherness or what have you. So what we're looking at is that we have something in common. It's when we join together in unity around something that we have in common. We join together around something that we have, creates community. So that could be our belief system. That could be things that we're interested in together. That could be a cause that we're behind. It could just be that we're in the same region. We have that in common. And that creates this thing of community. It could be anything that we have in common that creates this kind of unity. And let me say this. You can be unified around something that's... You can be in unity about... Because we always talk about, well, we need to be in unity. You can be in unity about things that are detrimental. I can give you examples, even biblically. The Tower of Babel. They were in unity. But they were in unity in their pride, and God didn't like that, right? The Tower of Babel. So you also have, there were people who were in unity. Look at the masses that were crying out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. They were in unity, correct? So what we have to do is we have to come together when it comes to this thing of building true community. What we're desiring is that we want to be people who build up, not tear down. So let's unify around building up, and specifically about building up community. Now, this could be in small group. This could be in a large group. It's tied around something that we have in common. You with me? So one of the things that we have to do is Nehemiah, you see, he opened his ears and listened. He asked a question, and he actually listened to what the answer was. So I think it's good for us to put this into our vocabulary, the thing of asking people. We have to ask how people are doing. But can I tell you, it's not the flippant ask people how they're doing. It's not the, how you doing, I only have 2 seconds, make it quick. It's not the, hey, let's just make this happen. It's not the, I'm just asking you to be polite, how are you doing? I can give you a perfect example of this when it was modeled for me. I was going through a tough time in ministry, extremely tough. It was dark days. And I had someone come up to me who is a friend in the midst of that time, and I'm going 100 miles an hour doing the work that I was supposed to do. He stopped me in a hallway, and he said to me, how are you doing? Now, I thought he meant, how are you doing? Kind of like the quick, an example. I met Toby Mac one time. Y'all know who Toby Mac is? Yeah, a lot of people actually know who he is. He's a Christian artist. And I met him at a gas station. And I looked at him and I said, man, I know you. And he goes, you know me? I said, well, I don't know you know you. He said, oh, I thought you knew me. I'm like, no, you're Toby. So I thought the question that this guy asked me of how you're doing, I thought his question was just the simple, flippant thing that everybody asked. And I'm like, oh, I'm doing fine, and proceeded to go. He said, no, stop. He looked me in the eyes and he said, Eric, I'm asking you, how are you doing? And he said, and I'm asking you because I really want to know. My mind was blown. I'm like, people do that? Like, there's people today that actually do that? And I remember just saying, well, it's a tough season. It was, and he really, really wanted to know what was going on. Ask yourself, when you ask that question, do you ask it just as a conversational piece, or are you really trying to get to the heart of the matter? Because if we want to be community builders, we have to start by listening. We have to start by being willing to listen for the needs. I mean, how in the world can we help build in an area that's torn down if we won't listen for the needs? Now, this isn't easy because it takes time, and it's oftentimes not a whole lot of fun. Honestly, if it was easy, I'll go right back to that saying, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But we're called to be community builders. We have to do this to get this whole process started. We have to ask what the needs are. Let's continue to read verse 4. It says, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. We have to have open ears, but we also have to have a heart. I mean, we can't just take in what's going on and then have a hardened heart about it. We have to be receptive to the need. The truth of the matter is, we really need to be broken for those that are broken. And this isn't something that's easy to do, and this really goes against our nature. But I can give you some examples of things in our life where we probably, if we were to keep our ears tuned, we would see some needs. This month is actually Suicide Awareness Month. How many of y'all knew that? Just a handful? This is actually Suicide Awareness Month. Do you realize the spike in suicide right now? It's mind-blowing, some of the statistics. 24, the number 24, that's the percent of increase in suicide rates in the United States from 1999 to 2014, according to the 2016 Center for Disease Control and Prevention report. So literally, there's been an increase of 24% from 1999 to 2014. That's an incredible increase, isn't it? Actually, it's now the number two ranking among leading causes of death in teenagers. In 2006, it was the third leading cause. It's actually moved, it's been bumped up over these last just a decade or so. 43% increase in suicide rates over the last 15 years of middle-aged men between age 45 and 64. 43% increase. Y'all, I'm telling you, listen. We've got to listen to this because there's people around us who are crying out and they're saying, I can't go on. I need some help. And we have to be willing to listen, to build up, because the enemy wants to tear down. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God, Jesus said, I came that you'd have life and that you'd have it more abundantly. I'm not even going to ask, but many of you in this room, you've had people that were very close to you who've committed suicide. So this is something that's near to us. Almost everybody in the room in some way has had somebody close to them. 200% increase in suicide rates over the last 15 years among young women. 200% increase in young women. Get this, between the ages of 10 and 14. Our preteens are in trouble. I'm being real with you. Like, well, this is heavy. No, this is reality. This is the reality of it. And we can be a part of the solution. We can be a part of the building up of these people because the enemy's doing everything he can to tear down. This is Suicide Awareness Month, so let's be aware. Let's keep our ears open. You have, every one of you in between your seats, you've got the suicide prevention and education. We want to give you tools. Miss Regina is here. Hi, how are you doing? She's with Cowboy Up. They're a Columbia Junior Auxiliary. They do a great job of doing suicide awareness, specifically in that area of teens. And they do assemblies and what have you. If you have any questions, you can ask her. All I'm saying is this. Let's be a part of the solution. Let's be a part of building up in these people's lives, because there's a lot of people out there that are really struggling. And it doesn't help that there was a 26% increase in Google searches on how to commit suicide following the release of Netflix 13 Reasons Why. It doesn't help that media doesn't help. That's all I'm saying. So we have to do everything we can to stay in tune with the people around us. And can I tell you, there are very specific things that people say when they're going down this road, so you can listen for those things and be a part of the solution. And can I say this? Everybody look at me. Don't be afraid of them being mad at you. Right? We're talking about life or death. Don't be afraid of them being mad at you. You can resolve all that later. We're talking about life or death. We've got hurricanes going on as another example of things that we can be broken about. There's fires over in the west part of the United States as well. There's natural disasters all around us, and we can be a part of building up community. We can be a part of the solution. Education of our children, that's what Serve Sunday was all about. I mean, we can do everything possible to get in and be a part of educating our kids in this day. What about those who are spiritually lost? Listen, these are just some examples, but those that are spiritually lost, that's the biggest issue that we have. That's the greatest need. That's what we're here for, is to share the gospel and the good news with those who are searching for good news. They're searching for good news. Spiritual health. And we can be a part of that solution. So we have to have a heart. We have to care about people around us. But we can't really know if we won't listen. We got to start there. And as we listen, then we have to be broken for their brokenness too. And then we have to be very cautious about how we proceed. So don't proceed without asking God to intercede. Did you hear that? Don't proceed without asking God to first intercede on our behalf. We need wisdom on how to step into these situations. We need wisdom on how to be a part of building up these communities. Don't go before Him, go with Him. Plain and simple. Don't get ahead of God, go with Him. Scripture tells us that if we ask, He'll give us the wisdom that we've asked for. He'll actually give us the wisdom. But I want us to read this whole prayer that Nehemiah prayed. So if you would, just track with me as we go down through this prayer. What is it about our clocks today? My clock on my iPad says 9:32. That one says 10 o'clock. I was going to preach forever. Wow. Everybody's pointing at that one. No, that's the one. That's the one right over there. Verse 5. Y'all going to have to read fast. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments, let Your ear be attentive. See, now we're saying, God, let Your ear be attentive. Your eyes open to hear the prayer of Your servant, that I now pray before You day and night for the people of Israel, Your servants, confessing the sins. Now, this is so important. Repentance is necessary in our prayers. Listen to me, if you don't hear anything else, repentance is necessary. I would go as far as to say, it isn't that repentance if necessary, it's repentance is necessary. Track with me on this, because it's not just our sins that we're repenting, it's also those of the people that we live with, that live around us. Because he goes on, you know, he talks about confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned. We have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven. And by the way, if you break that down, it's talking about, not talking about dead in heaven. He's talking about the furthest horizon where heaven meets earth. As you're looking out, he's saying it's that furthest horizon. They're scattered beyond where you can see. From there, I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, in the sight of the king. I want to make sure I give you this information. I'm not even going to look at the clock. I want you all to have this information. If you're going to ask of God, there's three specific things that I've seen in Scripture that you need to do. You need to ask humbly. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive them and I will heal their land. We need some of that, amen? I will heal their land. You also need to ask boldly. Boldly. Hebrews 4:16 says to come boldly to the throne of grace, that you'll find grace and mercy in your time of need. As a believer, we're allowed to come into the throne room because of the price that Jesus paid as the great high priest. And then ask persistently. Don't stop. It's that persistent widow that you find in Luke 18, 1-8. She just kept coming, knocking on the door. Ask, seek, knock. That word ask, A is for ask, S is for seek, K is for knock. Ask, seek, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. Be persistent and continue to cry out to God. Everybody with me? The next thing we want to do is we want to look at this last sentence. It's not even the last verse. It's the last sentence of chapter 1. And it says this, now I was cupbearer to the king. I was more intrigued with that sentence than anything else. I just stopped and went, wait, it's all by itself. It just sits there at the end of the chapter and it says, now, I was the cupbearer of the king. And here's what I got out of that. Start from where you're at. Be who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Be who you are. Quit trying to be somebody else. Quit trying to have somebody else's gifts and somebody else's talents. Be who you are. He said, this is who I am. This is who I am. Now, you'll note, he didn't just say, this is who I am in that one sentence. Prior to that, he said, this is who I am in my relationship with you, God. And then he said, and this is the office in which I currently stand. I am a cupbearer to the king. I have to work from where I'm at. God knows your limitations and he knows mine. Jimmy and I were having a conversation probably over a year ago, and we were talking about multi-site church. And this is a conversation I've had with Pastor Tom. And he and I were talking, and he said, listen, God knows your limitations. He's not sitting on the throne going, man, I can't believe he can't work this out. He knows what you're able to do where you're at, so do what you're able to do where you're at, and do it to the best of your ability, and quit trying to be somebody else and trying to grab a hold of somebody else's authority. Use what you have, and don't despise the little. Amen? Know your place, know your position, and it's pretty important to know the circle of influence that you have. And allow God to reveal to you how to use that to be a kingdom builder, to be a community builder. How many of y'all are in on this? You want to be a community builder. Anybody? All right, the rest of you just want to tear it down? Is that how it works? I mean, I think all of us have it in us that we want to build, right? We can either be people who tear down or we can be people who build up. Now, here's what we get to do. We get to make a choice. Which one do you want to be? And this is where we start. First, we start by listening to others, and then we have a heart. So be willing to help them. We pray to God that He would intervene, that He would give us wisdom on how to do what we need to do right where we're at, moving forward. Scripture says He ordains the steps of the righteous. So let's continue to stay fixed on Him, and He'll show us one step after the next. But you and I have to be willing to do the hard things. It means, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, and I'll wrap it up because y'all are starting to get impatient, I can tell. No, listen, this is, I'm telling you, have you ever noticed when it came to renovating a house, how many people show up for the demolition? Because it's fun. I mean, come on, we're tearing things up. I'm going, can we have some dynamite, right? So everybody loves the tearing things down part. But now, how many people show up to frame out the new house or to do the sheetrock or to paint? Yeah, you can have it, okay? Painting, sheetrocking, all that, listen, it is harder work to build than it is to tear down. I don't care what scenario you put it in. You can put it in the tangible, working on a house, working on a building, working on a structure, or you can put it into the relational aspect, or you can put it into community. But I'm telling you, it's so much easier to tear down than it is to build up. And that's why not everybody's doing it. Because it's sweat and equity that you have to put into it. It's hard work. Serve Sunday next year is already in the works. You're like, but we just finished. Yeah, well, we already have two more churches that want to join in next year. Right? Two more churches that already want to join in. You want to know why? Because they want to make sure that every single school in Columbia or in Maury County is covered. They don't want a single school in Maury County to be missed for Serve Sunday next year. Two more churches already joining in. Just gives me God bumps. Because they're seeing. We're seeing that it's a whole lot fun to build. It's a whole lot of work. But how many of you have stepped back from a project when it was done and went, that was worth the work? Amen? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to build. And we're going to do it together. Why? Because this is a common unity. This is something that we have to do in togetherness, in unity. And we're going to surround ourselves. Our unity is going to be something that builds, not something that tears down. I'm going to ask that the ushers would come forward, and we're going to take up the tithe and offering. Let's pray. God, I thank You for this amazing, amazing congregation of believers. I thank You for this family that we have. And I ask that You would continue to build up our connect groups as well, our small groups. God, that we would continue to build strong relationships and community within this body. And then also that we would continue to build strong community outside of these walls. Just give us wisdom, God. Help us to hear where the needs are. I mean, we heard that there's needs in the school. And so we move towards that, and we thank You for giving us wisdom on that. We've heard that there was needs. 1 in 5 children in the state of Tennessee do not know where their next meal is coming from. That's mind-blowing to us, but that's the statistic. And so we are blessed to be a part of weekend, giving weekend food to children in their backpacks to take home. We're blessed to be a part of a food distribution with One Generation Away. And even now, Lord, we're looking towards the possibility of helping in Texas and in Florida. And so we just ask that You grant us wisdom. We see the need. We hear the need. Our heart breaks for it. And now we ask that you would intercede, intervene, and that you would help us to be the best that we are as we're a part of meeting those needs. But most of all, God, all of this, the giving, everything that we do, it's about people coming to know you as Lord and Savior of their life. So we pray that through this ministry, more people would be saved. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name.